And now, it's time for the talk of the Northwest. The 9 to Noon Show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. You're very welcome along to the 9 till Noon Show here in Highland Radio. It is Friday. It's the 25th of July. It's 5 minutes past nine and you're very welcome along to the programme. And it's the last show before the big show, isn't it? This is our 3 hours. Looking forward to the big game on Sunday. And as I've mentioned earlier in the week, you know, even casual fans, people without a passing interest, I mean, you'd have to have a heart of stone not to have got caught up in the buzz that is the All-Ireland final. It's Donegal, it's Kerry, it's the two best teams in the country, and we have been building up to it. We've got full match commentary, and we've got loads of shows between now and then as well, where we can interact with you live. So we're all very, very excited. On this show, we're going to have some live music for you. We're going to have some analysis. We're going to have Lee Gooch at McCool's. Of course, the crowds are gathering there already, and we're looking forward to absolutely all of it. And Oisin Kelly's with us as well, and he is the, I suppose he's got to be the voice of, and is the voice of this campaign here on Highland Radio, and far beyond, of course, if you're listening to all the songs as well. And, you know, it's a tightrope, isn't it, Oisin? Because this is big. This is momentous. In terms of sport, you know, we get in behind the crack and the razzmatazz and the picture and the memories, but it comes down to 70 minutes plus on Sunday, and that's what it's all about. And there's scores to be settled here. There's club pride, there's county pride, there's personal pride, there's rights of 2014s, wrongs of 2014s to be rights on the pitch, in the backroom staff. You know what I mean? This is huge. The Donegal players can't even countenance, imagine defeat. Everything comes down to this. For many of them, this is their career in one day.
This is the biggest day of their life, Greg. So it is. There's been men, as you mentioned there before. Now, are they looking to right the wrongs of 2014? Quite possibly so. They don't sort of talk in that manner. Ryan McHugh said at the press night that that defeat will always sit with them. You get, not that you get over it, but you continue. And even if they were to win on Sunday, that defeat will still be sitting there, and it will help to try and make up in that small sort of way. But that's a notch in history. This group now is looking to make a new notch. We're not here very often, Greg, so it's a massive occasion. And everything that comes with a lead up to the All-Ireland, as you can see, it's wonderful, it's great. So it is, but on Sunday afternoon when the ball's thrown in, it's just a game of football. It's the biggest game of football of the year, but it is a game of football. We're going to have a winner and we're going to have a loser. Somebody's going to be happy. Some people are going to be very, very disappointed. But for these young men that are representing Donegal, this is the biggest thing in their lives. And lots of these guys are very young. Fumbarorty's 18 years of age. There's a handful of them that are in their early 20s, and they're experiencing this for the very first time.
But in relation to that, though, children, yeah, it's remarkable with the young players that we're actually seeing their growth and their development and the influences of your McHughes, your McBurties, your Murphys in real time. We're seeing young lads, you know, coming in, blooding, as they used to call it. Next thing you know, they're putting in man of the match performances, and it's part of that balance between that youth and that experience. And clearly, there must be a bond in the team that's so transferable, as I say, almost in real time.
When you get to this stage of the year, you have a very, very strong bond within a group. Like Donegal have played more matches than anybody else, and there's no doubt that the experience of having Michael Murphy there, Ryan McHugh, captain, Patrick McBurty, the most decorated footballer ever in this county, is looking to add another medal, another title to the honours that he's already won. And then you've Colin McFadden and Neil McGee in the backroom team. And you can add in the likes of Hugh McFadden there as well. And obviously, Jim McGuinness. Their experience is it's priceless for a situation like this, to feed it to these young players who are, as I said, are screening this for a very, very first time. But they've showed no fear throughout the campaign. They've met every challenge head on. And you talked about a group and a bond. That bond within the Donegal group is very, very strong. You don't get to this part of the year not having a strong bond in a group. But that's been built since Jim McGuinness came in. Like, we were in the semi-final stage last year and we all came home very disappointed, and we were wondering what's next to come from Donegal. And we were all hoping because the situation, the scenario, the path that we are on has so many similarities to what took place in Jim McGuinness's first time.
And just in relation to Jim McGuinness's return, I was interested to hear how when Donegal were at the very low ebb, it was Patrick McBrearty calling to Jim McGuinness and saying, look, come back. You know, so it's there's obviously
not knowing what sort of reception he was going to get at the front door,
and there's a massive two-way respect there.
Yeah.
You know, obviously respecting up the chain, but also respecting down the chain as well. Eamon McGee is with us as well, former Intercounty player. Eamon, how are you? Are you nervous, or how are you coming into this game? Because you can compare it to it as a fan, but also as someone who's been locked in that bubble preparing for a game of this magnitude.
I'm nervous, surely, Greg, and I was actually looking forward to the newspaper review just to switch. Caroline told me we're going to chat more Donegal here. No, listen, it's. I'm a supporter now. Like, I've kind of obviously have an emotional connection to the likes of Neil and Jim and Colm and Murphy and Ryan and Paddy and these boys, but mostly a supporter now. And it's tough, you know. You think you have a bit of control when you're on the field, when you're part of that group, but. And as a supporter, and you're looking on, you have no control, and it's a horrible place to be now. But I just pray too is the big thing I'm feeling this last few days. I just actually chatted about the journey that these young bucks have been on, and the way, you know, Paddy and Huey went to Jim's door and just says that this isn't good enough. What we're doing, we need someone to get to what we can believe we can do, and that ambition. Like, so it's. It's been a great week. It's been a great 2 weeks, actually, the build-up. And, you know, you can be... Let this bypass you, but I'm just trying to... I let it bypass me the last time because I wanted to shut it off, but I'm really embracing now and really enjoying
into it this time. Oisin said just a couple of moments ago about how with all the noise around and everything in history and whatever, it does come down to 70 minutes. How do you get yourself into, from a player's perspective, into the brain space whereby, you know, you can't be overexcited, right? You can't be passive. You have to be just right in the zone. And I think that's where sort of the sports psychology probably comes into it. You know, you have to go in there motivated, right and wrongs, dreaming of what could come, but that has to be controlled.
Oh yeah, and I think, you know, I was doing a wee bit of work there during the week, and I was trying to remember the build up after you woke up. So you go down and got your breakfast of the All Ireland final day, and you went down and got your breakfast, and nothing really sticks out. It's hard to remember, and I suppose that's part of it too, that you just viewed it as another day. You trained hard, and I think that's the comfort blanket the lads should use. They've trained hard, they've been in situations, they've come out the right side of it, and they have all the answers here. And it's just about when that question is put up to you in the All-Ireland final, they need to know they have the answers, and it's just another day at the office of, you know, under Jim McGuinness' team and what's expected of them. And that's what you do. That's in terms of sports psychology. You just trust the process and stick to the process. You don't go away off and causes an All-Ireland final do something radically different. You just stick to what got you there. Still got to them in the semi-final last year, and that's important for them.
Yeah, I wonder what the players do for downtime now. In my head, I've got like Darrell Beale playing Call of Duty online. I've got Patrick McBrearty playing Sudoku. Maybe Mark McHugh's been watching something on Netflix.
Ryan McHugh.
Ryan McHugh, yeah. Sorry. I do wonder what they do to switch
Dermot
off.
Brick-Molloy made the point last night, Greg. And Eamon would understand this too, that but in 2012 and 13 and 14, social media wasn't as prevalent then as what it is now. And it seems to be a wee bit more difficult. It could possibly be more difficult for players to keep that noise out, Eamon, because everything's in your hand and on your phone now. And it was there 10, 11 years ago, but it wasn't at what the level...
It was only in its infancy. And I think actually, again, I was thinking about this the last day where we chat about this, sticking to the process.
Yeah.
You know, some of them lads love get on Instagram, have a wee nosy on Instagram, get on whatever, Facebook, Twitter. And if you remove that over the last 2 weeks, and listen, personally, I would just remove it, but delete it off the phone for 2 weeks because it's just a distraction. is that upsetting their routine too much? Because it's just there and it's such a big part of people's lives nowadays. Mm. But there's so much nonsense, be it Twitter, Instagram or whatever, being posted. And a lot of it, no. It's in good faith nonsense. And then there's a lot of it just pure nonsense. So it's just, for me personally, I'd separate myself, but that's such a big part of young people's lives nowadays.
There are some people that will want to be right and wrongs, whether they're on the pitch or in the backroom staff, Eamon, just as a player, and it's subjective, everybody's different. But, you know, where do the big disappointments sit in your mind compared to the massive successes? As a professional sports person, how do you have you got big days that if you could go back, it's all you'd want to do is to right a certain wrong? Does it stick with you?
Oh yeah, it sticks with me. I actually had a conversation with one of my mates from Gidor, who's big into the mindset and, you know, positive thinking and all that, and we're chatting about football, and I told him that 2014 sticks out so much, and he was saying, like, why would you allow that? You've won in All-Ireland, you have got to the top, and you're allowing the one that got away to stick out. And I think that's just the nature of being, you know, you have that competitive nature in you. You've competed, and the one that you possibly didn't, the one that you didn't, no possible in it, the one that you didn't perform for, that's the one that kind of sticks out. But the fact that you have the medal in the back pocket too makes it that wee bit easier. You know, if you didn't, then You're in the Mayo, say in a Mayo group that have been numerous finals and nothing to back it up. Yeah. Then that I just find that would be
I can kind of feel you repeating your mate's words back to me, but I don't think they've landed.
Not at all. I didn't take them on at all. I says be quiet.
Yeah, that's fine. That's easy for you. But I think it's that 0.5% that's in top elite level sports people that's not in everyone else that feeds that, if you know what I mean. Oshie, what's the story? When are we going to get the team?
The team will be announced later this morning, Greg. It usually comes about 10:30, 11 o'clock. Like, Kerry named an unchanged team last night, which didn't surprise really anybody. And listen, it's a case as well that I don't think there'll be any big surprises in the Donegal team to come at 10:30. Jim has a fully fit squad to choose from, and it could be a case that, right, we name the same starting 15 as we did the semi-final. If there is a change coming, it'll probably come on a half an
You're
hour.
You're about long enough, Greg, to know that the team named at 10:30 on a Friday is nowhere near the team named at 3:30 on the Sunday.
But it gives us something to run on the sports bulletins on Friday, Eamon. We've got Eamon McGee with us for the next wee while, and Oisin Kelly, our head of sport and play-by-play commentator, with us as well, of course. And now we're going to wonderful Kerry to say good morning to Tim Moynihan, Radio Kerry sports commentator. Great to have you on the show, Tim. How's things in County Kerry?
Thanks very much. Yeah, look, I suppose no different to Donegal at the minute. You know, I think once you reach the Friday, there's a lot of waiting. I'm sure Eamon is understand that as well, waiting for it all to happen. And, you know, I suppose there was a call back after the Cavan game by David Clifford and Jack O'Connor, the manager, you know, for Kerry support. I suppose we'd be known for supporters are waiting for the final down through the years. But I suppose when you look back at last year when we were beaten by Armagh, the crowd made a huge difference on that day. Every score, every turnover, you could hear the Armagh crowd. And you could see, I'd say they outnumbered us 5 or 6 to 1 that day. And I think there's a real buzz this year. And that call, and I suppose he's one of the few players that could make a call to Kerry supporters and come out and support. And I tell you, there's a huge crowd, a huge Kerry crowd at both the Armagh game and the Tyrone game. So, yeah, there's a huge buzz here at the minute, and I suppose an expectation. And it's a game that's going to be very hard to call.
And fans down there, you know, it's quite interesting. I'm not saying it's unique, but if you hear Vox Pops, the Jim factor always seems to come into it. You know, they talk regularly about the team, but it's then Jim McGuinness is always mentioned, you know. And I'm not saying it's unique, but it's interesting how sort of acutely aware of his influence, of course, as a manager, but I think a particular special influence Jim McGuinness may well have.
Yeah, and he has that influence. I suppose the good thing, there's a Kerry connection with Jim as well. He spent with Tralee RTC when they were involved in the Sigerson competition. He was down here, and I live here in the town of Tralee, and quite a few of us that know Jim in his early days. He enjoyed his youth in Kerry, and he was a very popular guy, part of that dream team with Seamus Mine and a number of other players playing Sigerson. But that huge factor, what's transitioned or what's happened since, you know, he going to Celtic and he going to China and coming back to his own game again. And I think even from the Mind Games perspective, that Jim seems to have that advantage. And if I look at his interviews, you know, on the build-up or the preview to the All-Ireland, that press day, he keeps pushing it back on Kerry. And, you know, that's an art in itself, and Jim is good at it, but he's a serious tactician as well. So it makes it... And if you listen to it from our side, you'd say they're saying it's Jim McGuinness versus David Clifford.
Yeah, okay. Well,
What about Jack O'Connor, Tim? Good morning, Tim. Oisín here.
Hi, Oisín. How are you? The point I'm making there, it's like the two big names. They're talking about Jim McGuinness on one side and David Clifford, but there's that wise old owl then sitting by the side letting it all happen. That's Jack O'Connor. You know, is this Jack something like his eighth final involved in? And, you know, in Kerry, lads, and you'll know it from our history, that we've lost quite a lot of All-Irelands as well. Like, we might be going for our 39th All-Ireland, but we've lost 23 of them as well. So there's bad days and good days. And you'd hope that from the days that Jack didn't get over the line, that he'd learn from those days as well. So there's so many little sideshows and all this, and it makes it intriguing. Even the experts out there at the minute, you know, normally somebody put their head in the line and say, look, this will be Donegal, this will be Kerry. They're finding it very difficult with two different contrasting styles to call the game.
Well, let's hear from one of those experts, though we won't like me calling him that, I don't think, because it's not in his nature. Former Intercanty player, of course, Donegal star Eamon McGee. You know, assess Kerry for us, Eamon.
There are no experts in this game.
Yeah, that's
all,
quite
Craig.
True, isn't it?
Kerry, you know, how many times have we seen this throughout the years where they kind of stutter through a championship and you're thinking, right, they're not going to get much further, and then they just spring to life. You know, I think in that Armagh game where they put on probably as good a display of football within 15 minutes as we'll likely to ever see. So they're back and they're dangerous. Happy to see Armagh out, because Armagh were the team I thought that were going well. They were ticking all the boxes, but it came at the expense of Kerry just waking up here. And when you have Clifford in that frame of mind, Shawnee O'Shea, they're and Kerry in a final are a dangerous animal. You know, Tim talked about that. That's terms of finals won and terms of finals lost. That's just over 60, if I made the right count there. We're on our fourth appearance in a final. And that, whatever you can say, you can chat tactics, you can chat this and that, that does make a difference in terms of the build-up and getting used to the colour and getting used to the buzz that's about there. So it's advantage to Kerry in a lot of aspects. And I think a lot of talk about David Clifford here. And I generally think if we can go anywhere close to curtailing him, then we go a long way to beating Kerry. How you go about that is, it's easier, Grant, saying that in Highland Radio on a Friday morning, but to do it in the white heat of championship when, you know, if 80,000 people watching it in person, then however many watching it on the TV, to go up and take down one of the greatest ever play the game is a tough task. So I think that's where Jim will be spending his energy. How do we shut David Clifford down and his supporting cast? So not just forget about the supporting cast. We have a plan to deal with them as well, but primary thing there is, let's stop David Clifford.
Tim?
Yeah, look, to me, and just like Eamon said there, you know, I was very young when Mikey Sheehy was playing, but I know he was a serious player. But I suppose he's spoken David Clifford here the same breath as the great Maurice Fitzgerald, likewise Colm Cooper. But to me, he's a different metal. You know, I see at the expense of losing to Tyrone, if Tyrone got a hold of Gooch, was there a lot he could do to come out and do something different? But the one thing I would say about, and I know so much focus is on David Clifford, but just like Eamon said, he's probably the best player that I've ever seen anyway, and that's from my point. I've seen a few of them. He actually finds a way. You know, if you tie him down, if there's double tagging him, he actually makes decisions on the pitch, and there's not many players that can do that as individuals. to make you think differently. And I thought it happened in the Armagh game. Shawnee had a serious game, but Shawnee got a lot of space against Armagh. But whilst that all was happening, David had three out near the sideline watching him. So I'm only just saying the caliber of player he is, and he's driven. And I think this year he's more driven than any other year, in the sense that I think last year, he's very hurt from last year. He was just, the previous year he had buried his mom. A young baby came into his life as well. And, you know, I won't say there were distractions, but he was trying to deal with a lot of things that a lot of young people find it very difficult. Suddenly, he wants to, he's like, he's trying to prove something this year. And, you know, even the call to the Kerry supporters, he wasn't, nobody told him to call the Kerry supporters, but he decided, I think this will help the cause. So that's what I think of David Clifford. But there is a great support cast in Kerry as well. You know, it's great that Mike Breen is back, centre back. And the one thing that's happened as well, lads, and if you look at it, we are being riddled, and I'm not doing the Yara Kerry thing on this, but we've been riddled by injuries. And I'd be killed down in Kerry probably saying it's a blessing in disguise, but what they found, they found what strength is in their panel, and they found a system to adapt to make up for, like, when you have the likes of, even though he's named to the subs for Sunday, Dermot O'Connor out, Paul Gainey out, Barry Dan O'Sullivan with a cruciate. These are guys that would be starting on Sunday, and suddenly there's guys that I thought wouldn't get any game time in Croke Park this year. They're going to be walking behind the RTN boys band. So, but on the other side of it, and I'm going to, and a huge talking point down here, lads, as well, and I know you'll probably say it's the Yara Kerry thing again, is that the insight into the rule, let's face it, lads, it's made a spectacle this year because of the rules. And I'd say fair play to the Jim Gavins, the Aidan Fitzmaurices, the James Horns, and likewise Michael Murphy. But the line that's been thrown out here, and you'll probably laugh at it, lads. The line
I know is coming. He didn't even say hello to me, Greg, when I was talking to him during the week. It was like, he's the inside track there, Sir Murphy in the rooms.
Yeah, because I remember when Aidan Fitzmaurice, I think he was on TV one night, and he was saying that, look, 2 or 3 months in advance, that Donegal knew the rules. He said, he wasn't throwing anything at Donegal, but he said they were working on the new rules. And I think that, and to me, that's a compliment to Jim McGuinness. If he thought that these would get over the line, of course you'd work on them. And I think it was a bit of bonus territory.
That's a sign of a very, very smart coach, Tim.
And that's what I'm just after saying. And that's why, and all I'm saying, that was a little advantage. And I think there's somebody probably inside, and no different inside Jim McGuinness's mind at the minute, trying to tweak, how can we take advantage of those new rules? And that's what it's all about. And let's face it, lads, and we have, aside from the Kerry versus Donegal thing, it's actually made our game better. I probably, the worst game of all time was played, and unfortunately we were involved in it, Kerry versus Derry.
Tim, I want Eamon McGee's views on this inside track.
Can I just say something about the rules, right?
Yeah.
and Donegal and Michael Murphy being involved in it. Malachy O'Rourke was also involved in it, and he's Tyrone manager. So there's nothing special about Donegal being...
Eamon, come on, what do you think of this? We had 5 or 6 months advantage to prepare.
I actually heard a story that these rules were created for the likes of a Kerry.
Yeah.
That there's more space, there's more kicking. Now, I didn't agree or disagree with them. I'm just only going with what I heard there.
There you go, Tim. What do you think about that?
Yeah, look,
the fix is in.
I've been on, and Oisin, you know me, we meet at games, and that, you know, I live for this game. But I said the way the game was gone, I was ready to walk away from it. It was absolute. When you'd see our corner back, and he's not obviously playing, son, Tom O'Sullivan getting 55 possessions to 60 possessions in a game from a sharp kick out, come out to the 65, go back to the 45, play it back to Tadhg Morley. The game was actually becoming sickening to watch. And I would totally agree with Eamon that we wanted to see the David Cliffords of this world, the Oisin Gallons, the number of serious players. Mike Murphy's back again. To see these guys one-on-one with players. That's what we wanted. Let's face it, when they're scoring opportunities or whatever, that's what you want to see in a game. Not to be celebrating a turnover at the other side of the field and fellas clinching their fists and going up to the stand. Yeah. That's what we were actually celebrating in the old game. Yeah. A turnover. How could you celebrate a turnover? It's about putting that ball over the bar at the other side of the field and great movement. And I would compliment, including Michael Murphy and everyone, our own Amethyst, let's face it, every guy involved in that has a serious brain for football. Mm. And I think in a such a short space of time, lads, it has. And I totally agree, like Eamon and Oisin, it does create space. Isn't it lovely to see a back one-on-one with a forward and to see the back has a target of stopping you and the forward only wants to score.
Yeah.
And I think, and that's the makings of a great final, because you've two teams of contrasting styles but quite capable of upsetting both defences.
It's very exciting. I'm actually more encouraged now to hear Kerry Wan's already making excuses, so that must be good. You must fear us. Come here before you go, Tim.
I would say one thing before, and thanks for having us today. It's lovely to link up, and I've some great friends up your side. The one thing we did do, the minute the full-time whistle was blown in the Meath and Donegal game, I think the county council put out a memo to cut down all trees around Corns and Fitzgerald Stadium, so nobody would have a vantage point.
Well, Tim, we've been listening to Oisin's commentaries all week, as we can imagine. You might remember this little piece of audio.
He give it to Davis.
Davis
go for
he's
a
got
two
it.
Here.
He's got
yes,
it.
He
he's
it.
Got it.
Yes, he gets a two-pointer.
No.
The Kingdom. They have responded exceptionally well. This is the Kerry that we wanted to see, and we're seeing it right now.
Get over.
It's a point.
Great score, me Holborns.
Body's coming in along the edge of the square. Surely a chance. Fisted over the bar. Kerry are on fire. Surely take him on. He surely take the point. Oh, yes, it does.
Oh,
yes,
score.
Yes.
Whoa.
David. The game is all over.
That's it.
We're back, baby.
We're back, baby. Hey, nothing beats local radio, Tim.
I tell you, I said that's what is. I said, well, the one thing we can be in local radio is we can be biased. And look, I'm very fortunate. Beside me is the 1984 captain. He's 3 All Ireland medalists. He played minor for 4 years with Kerry. He's done it with vocationals level. He's an All Ireland minor, and it's brilliant to be in that. And I'd privileged a bit, but we kind of go with the team. We go with the green and gold. And the ref could get a bit of a bollocking from time to time if decisions don't. But look, that's what you can do that in local radio. And I suppose we kind of get carried away at times as well, lads.
I remember one of the first viral things I ever come across was a commentary of a fella commentating on a lower league match. Do you remember that, Tim? Oh, I think I'm going to be sick and all that. Was that a Kerry man? Do you remember what I'm on about? No? No, you don't. Sorry, I don't want to put you on the spot.
I have a vague idea.
But this was one of the first viral things that was circulating. Yeah. It's going back years and years ago. Okay. Tim, listen.
Was it a junior
very,
B game or something?
Tim, what we want is a brilliant spectacle, and may the best team win. And from your perspective, you want it to be Kerry, obviously, for Mars, Donegal, but we also hope it's a fantastic game for the neutral as well, Tim. And the stage is set. We just need a big game now.
Yeah, absolutely. And for to sell our product, you know, it's I think it's been wasted over the last 10, 15 years. And, you know, a manager won't care if it's 7 points to 6 once he comes out to the right end of it. But I think with the new rules, we can't have that anymore.
Okay.
And we'll see good footballers on view. And enjoy the occasion, lads. Look, there's years we don't get there and we feel our year is over. But when you've got to embrace it when you go there. And look, we'll say may the best team win.
For sure, Tim. Have a great week. Tim Moynihan there, excellent Radio Kerry sports commentator. Before we let you go, Eamon McGee, do you dare to sort of predict how you think it's going to go? I suppose how the game might play out and who will lift that most famous of trophies in our country?
I think it's like we're on Highland Radio here. I think we'll have to go with Donegal now. And the buzz, like I was actually.
Don't pretend you're on off the ball.
I was actually listening to Oisin and Davy out on the Monday night. There sounded like a great night, and it's just great to see that buzz and the passion that's in this county. And we just all want Donegal to win. And I think, you know, it's very hard to make a call with your head with Donegal. I think we'll just have to go with the heart and say that McCall will contain Clifford. Jim McGuinness's plan will help McCall, and we'll go on to lift Sam Maguire. And I just can't wait for it. Can't wait to see the lads in that parade going around Crow Park. I think that's where Donegal deserve to be, and that's going to send shivers up my spine now.
Right, so excited there. I forgot the advert was over. Austin Kelly's still with us. Austin,
he was dancing around the studio singing Jimmy's Winning Matches. If
Jimmy
he's
Winning Matches. Brendan Devaney, how are you, my friend?
Great moves, G-Man, great moves.
Thanks, bro.
G-Man.
Yeah, we've got names for each other.
Yeah.
Brendan, I was chatting to Eamon about remembering sort of the bad results. You're a bit tapped like I am. So you overthink things, I would say, as well. You probably really think on the ones that got away over the great successes you've enjoyed across a range of sports.
Listen, Nick, all sports people are like that, Greg. I still remember interviewing Peter Canavan in lockdown, and I read out his roll call, which is sounds like a dream. And he says, I'll give you another roll call of stuff that lost. And I was like, seriously? So listen, even the best of the best, I don't know what it is. It's just that thing of things that get away. But listen, hopefully now this won't get away on Sunday and we come down there, we'll be Sam.
Yeah, he was in Donegal Town last night, up with the Four Masters boys. So he was, Greg.
I'd say he wasn't as controlled with his language as he was on Monday.
Up Donegal.
Hey, who's this? Hey, boys.
That's Lucas and Senan there. They're getting ready for camp.
Hey, Lucas. Boys. Hey, Senan.
All right, guys.
Oh, you've got your headphones in. They can't hear me. That's right. Okay.
Good luck.
Oh, lovely stuff.
So what was the buzz like last night, Brendan? Donegal Town?
Listen, great crack in there. Same as Monday night, the Austin show was a brilliant show out there. And as you say, the people and the crowd and everyone involved in it. So we had the same kind of mix, you know, we had a bit of nostalgia from 92 and then we had a load of lads from 2012. And so it was a great build-up.
All right, talk to me about this game. You know, what's motivating what players? You know, for some, this is the first big bite at the biggest cherry of all. For others, there's wrongs to be written or righted or whatever it is in the past tense. So talk to me about who's preparing for what, what's motivating them, how are they thinking?
Yeah, I think just the modern player now is very channeled. I mean, listen, the old adage, taking it game at a time. You know, Jim obviously came in, first of all, this season, wanted to just, you know, stay solid in Division One, which we did early, which was good, a bit of rest. And then we done the Ulster, went after Ulster, we won it. We had a probably iffy stage in the group stage, and then it's channeled into the final. So I don't think any player ever, I mean, obviously McHugh, McBurdy and Murphy, which were involved in 2014, but, you know, different times then, and people will not be thinking about that at all. They'll just be thinking about this is our chance to win an All-Ireland, and you're up against one of the greats, and of course, you know, 38 All-Irelands, as we know, they are the aristocrats of the game, but let's concentrate on the 23 that they lost, maybe, and that's where Donegal got a home in, and I think, you know, Jack O'Connor's the go-to man for Kerry. You know, he obviously has four All-Irelands behind him. And when you think about even that for him versus our history, it just gives you an idea of where Kerry are at year on year. But don't forget, he was there in 2012 as well. And I just think with Jim, you know, going back to 2014, you know, that was our last even semi-final, never mind final. And since he's come in, you know, the magic's back. And I think last year we got so far, and if you look at us from last year, I think we're on another level altogether. I mean, the Galway game kind of petered out. You know, we just didn't seem to have enough on the day, and as Jim said, running out of steam. If you look at the energy that was coming in that Meath game, I mean, they were so night and day. The new rules, Murphy back, and so many players are contributing. You know, Finn Barrode as well from last year, and some just the performances of all the players across the board is phenomenal.
And, you know, obviously on the face of it, you would think, well, what's Jim planning? Jim is going to plan to sort of, you know, limit the big threat or threats from Kerry, but he thinks on different levels than that. He thinks in a fourth perspective or whatever it is. He's looking at the consequences of those decisions and planning for that too, I'm sure, Brendan. He's the master planner.
Yes, yeah, and I suppose our system is set up always to negate the opposition, no matter who it is. You know, whether it's like Sam Mulroy, whether it is David Clifford, and of course, there's more danger with Clifford, of course, because he's probably the best forward to ever play the game. But the system will still cope with that, and I think with players dropping back, you know, and trying to plug up. Well, if you've seen Hampshire last, they ended up 1-1 so often with Clifford. Donegal won't allow that, or will try and stop it as much as possible, because they'll sit tighter as a unit now. They'll concede a bit of space on the outside, and then you obviously have the threats of the likes of Sean O'Shea and Potty and these guys on the outside. So it's a matter of the balance of that. But when we get it, then there's no one better than us. I mean, really, Kerry are playing with six defenders at the back. You know, we are probably playing with three. And the difference is then if we can sit tight and kind of keep their scoring to a minimum, we have so many forwards in the pitch for them to deal with at the opposite end. And as much as Donegal looked at somewhat of a counter-attack defensive team, we play with more forwards than any other team, which means when we get it, then the opposition's in trouble.
We have, sorry, one more question, Austin, and then you can
I'll put it to both of you.
We have relied in the past on some huge second half performances, which I suppose talks to maybe not performing as well as we possibly could in the first half. We can't get away with that against Kerry, can we, Brendan and Oisin? Because we know themselves that they are capable of explosive spells of play, and we've probably seen one of the greatest examples of that in modern football. So how, where do we need to be at half-time? I'll go to you, Brendan, and then maybe get Oisin in on that. We can't rely against this Kerry team, can we, of being able to switch it up and overturn, you know, too wide a deficit in the second half?
Well, listen, they're on another level. Let's be honest. You have the best two teams in Ireland playing now, and I say because of that defence that they have, you know, we are unreal going forward, but they are playing with a back six, which is top quality, and particularly being pitch side against Tyrone, you know, the way Murphy, Foley and Casey and them, the way they were hitting and tackling was something that we didn't see from Meath and we didn't see from Louth, we didn't see from Monaghan really either. So listen, that's something to be guarded about. But listen, Greg, each game on its merits is completely different, and I think particularly, you know, the Monaghan game, we obviously week on week it struggled for us to get going. Once we did, we were unreal. I don't think it was as much of a thing. It took us a wee while to settle against Meath, but I think even by half time you were seeing serious signs we were going to do damage. So I think with a 2 weeks rest now, this will be a different game, because Jim will know we'll have to come out firing out of the box, and so will Kerry. So it'll be, I think it'll be an amazing hectic start, and every game is different, Greg. As much as we're talking now about obviously the influence of Clifford and Sean O'Shea and of course Murphy and everybody in there, different players are going to step up. I just think from Donegal, every game we've had different players stepping up. Kerry are more reliant on key men, and we have an array of match winners.
There made an interesting point last night, Brendan. Gary McDade actually made it, that this is going to be a really, really high level, high octane fixture. We're hoping it's going to be one of the best of the year, and it's going to be taxing on a lot of players. You mentioned him there a short time ago, Peter Canavan, the time that he was on the pitch, came off the pitch, and then came back on again. And we're talking about Michael Murphy and how big an impact he is going to be in. The reality of this is, Greg and Brendan, we're going into a game here where if Kerry won it and Clifford stars, the player of the year is going to go to young Clifford. Michael Murphy's in with a shout here, so he is, because we've seen Paul Conroy at his age at 30 plus last year becoming player of the year. Michael Murphy's not too far away from that, depending on what impact he's going to have in the game. And Brendan, I take it we are expecting Michael Murphy to have a huge impact and a huge influence in this game.
Yeah, he is. And actually, tactically, it's a tough one for Kerry, because Jason Foley, more than likely, we're thinking of pick him up. Now, he doesn't like going out the pitch at all. He likes to stay in your old three-fashion three and mind the house. That's where he's best at. He can't handle being out around the middle. So how do they handle the likes of Murphy coming out around in the out of that midfield zone, looking for that pat and big kick and the flick down and getting involved in midfield? So there's a lot of questions for them to ask in there. But I totally agree with you. The winners of this game, and of course it would edge, you know, certain all-stars as well. The winning team, of course, will be looked on more favourably. But yeah, I agree with you. Every game, there have been so much players playing at high level, but you've got to say Michael's influence in the total season has been streets ahead of everybody else.
All right, Brendan, are you taking the boys to camp?
They're going to camp.
Right, yeah, I better let you get on. I presume camp starts at 10, does it?
That's it. Of the good lady wife here as well. So listen, we'll not be stuck.
But,
listen,
yeah, but does she have a little ticket in her pocket, does she?
She did get sorted, yeah. Okay. We've got two, just taking up one of the lads with us, so we'll be all up, myself and Oisin. I can't wait, lads. And listen, great shows. I've really been enjoying the build-up and the songs, and it's been fantastic.
Did you see Brendan on the GA social? Did you?
No, but I'll tell you what I will do, Brendan. And I'm gonna send you a few links, right? Because you do a lot of this podcast stuff. You need to get a microphone and a little Zoom desk.
Sure.
You really do. I'll pay for it almost. Like, I can get you one on the cheap.
Too, then. Almost. Huh? If you're paying almost for something, he'll hardly buy the coffee.
I have to help this guy out. He's a technophobe. Uh-huh. Go on, Brendan.
Greg, but before I go, what you were talking about there was the Tipperary Under 21 Championship, the commentator.
That's what it was, yeah. All right, you're famous, good.
Yeah,
good. Listen, I think I'm going to be sick.
So yeah,
he Googled that, you know, before he came on.
Yeah, but he knew what to Google. He remembers it too. Brendan, you're in 2 Saturday night?
Yes, send me Oisin. Yeah,
and you're going to come over to us in the Bonnington.
I think so. Yeah,
no one's mentioned it.
He doesn't know about the Bonnington. Yeah, right, no, he's a very busy man at the weekend.
I know he is, and you're probably going to be moonlighting on the Nationals, are you? You little. Can I say bollocks on the radio?
No, you can't. No, it's not even 10 o'clock yet, Greg.
Yeah.
Hey, come here. Love to all. See you at the weekend, Brendan.
Thanks, guys.
All right, bye-bye. Take care of yourself. And that's it. You know, it's funny.
He is a superstar.
He's like the rest of us too. He's a family man as well. I'm watching him on Zoom, right? The two boys are standing at the driver's door, like going, you know, and he's looking out the window. Well, going,
every day since the full time also went, the semi man, I'm going to view tortured. And that was the case. I'm ringing him every day.
Right. Let's take this break because we'll remind listeners of Sunday morning. And keep your comments coming in. By the way, if you want to wish the guys good luck, send in your voice messages. We had some brilliant ones yesterday. Let's see if we can top them. 086 60 25,000. Send in your voice messages in support of maybe it's your local club player featuring for Donegal, the team as a whole, Jim McGuinness. Get the kids involved. We want to hear the up Donegals. If you want to sing a few bars of Jimmy winning matches, whatever it is, as I say, we played about 10 of them out yesterday and they were brilliant. Obviously, we've got a load of great programmes coming up over the course of the weekend as well from Dublin. We're heading down tomorrow. My show is on Sunday. It's between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. and we're in the Bonnington Hotel in Drumcondra. Now, we're going to be building up to the throw-in with live music from our own David James, Darren Boot, who's produced a bit of an anthem this year, and Rory Gallagher, who arguably is the king of the anthem at this stage, yet to be dethroned. So we've got hundreds of people in the Bonnington. We're going to be chatting to some key figures in GEA and fans as well. So get in if you can. Now, you don't have to be a resident of the hotel. You can call over and say hello and then walk down to the match. It's up to you. But there is a fantastic offer of an all-you-can-eat breakfast. And that's a key thing here. All-you-can-eat breakfast. It's €20. And if you book it through our website, you're in the draw for an overnight stay at the Bonnington Hotel. But join us if you can live from 11 a.m. But also, obviously, the vast majority of you, because tickets are so hard to find, will be listening on the radio. So we'll continue the big build-up to the big match on Sunday morning from 11 a.m. That runs till 1. And sure, then it's only 2.5 hours to throw in, isn't it? So Oisin will be hot-footing it from the Bonnington to get in position for comms and to bring you the big build-up on what is the biggest sporting day of the calendar year in our country. What's happening Saturday night, Oisin?
Saturday night, we're in the D2. We'll be joined by the Donegal fans as well. Greg, we'll be talking to a few football people. There's going to be a bit of live music. We've got the Duck Street Jam Band, who are a band originating from Portneau. They're playing at the Harcourt Hotel in the D2 bar over the course of the weekend. And they'll be joining us. They'll give us a song. And Rory Gallagher, of course, will be making an appearance along the way with you at the Bonnington on Sunday, and he's going to be about the Harcourt Hotel as well throughout the course of the weekend, playing exclusively live. We'll be talking to fans, football talk. Riley Sports have jumped on board, so we've got these lovely retro tops. Riley Sports retro tops
as well Sunday.
Yes, we've got Highland. We've got Highland gear to give away.
So I'm getting Highland pens, and you're getting.
I'll confirm exactly what you're getting.
Being so serious on air.
There's more than pens. There is wireless chargers.
Oh, fantastic! Brilliant.
So okay. Torches.
I'm only messing.
Yeah, I know you're only messing, but we've thought, right, you know what? We'll give away things that are practical because we don't want to be handing them a big hamper and them going to watch football match. So we have, but there, we'll have good giveaways as well for you. Don't worry, Greg. We'll have good giveaways for you.
Right. See you soon, Oisin. And listen, all roads lead to Croker now. It's brilliant. You've articulated it very well before. The reason we're making such a big deal is this doesn't come around very often for us in the history of the sport. This is our fourth go at it. We've a right to wrong from 2014. Yeah. We've got two in the bag, but this doesn't come along often, and it's all positive. It's all green and gold. It's all Donegal, and we're all for it.
We're all for it. We are embracing it. We have to, because as you say, we don't experience this too often. It's not like down in Kerry, so it's not, but we have to make the most of it when we're here. And fingers crossed, come about 5:30 on Sunday, we'll have Patrick McBurdy heading up the steps of the Hogan Stand to lift the Sam Maguire Cup. So the best of luck to all the team and to Jim and all the management and everybody involved in Donegal GA, and the best of luck to every single Donegal supporter this weekend. Because it's a huge occasion, and we'll see you about Croke Park, Greg.
Yes, indeed. And if not, we're going to make sure, and this is an important role we have here, we're going to make sure you feel like you're in Dublin. If you're at home, or maybe you're just not as active as you used to be, our job here as well is to make you feel like you're there. So we'll have you down in the D2 on Saturday night. We'll have you in the Bonington Sunday morning. And Oisin Kelly will have you in the stand on Sunday from 3:30. And that is the blessing we have in being able to do this job. All right then, back after the news, which will be a little late. My apologies to Michaela Clark.